Hello, and welcome to Bat Flips and Nerds, the podcast that gives you a British take on baseball. I am this week your host, John McGee. I am, again, flying solo, I'm afraid, which means we don't have our usual episode, and we can't talk about the travesty that is the Texas Rangers treatment of the Houston Astros, the miracle that is Giancarlo Stanton, or the phenomenon that is Rhys Hoskins. And we can't talk about the current playoff wash-up and whether or not any of the teams who are currently in pole position will be there at the end of the season or not. That was what we were going to talk about. Unfortunately, Darius is in Chicago. Lucky him. We're going to have some dispatches from him next week. Tom is at his in-laws, rather less lucky him, and Ben is at a work party, so perhaps somewhere in between, depending on how you feel about Ben's colleagues. The good news is that we do have something for you this week. We don't want you to go entirely without, and the even better news is that it is something of a special treat. I've got an interview coming up right after the jingle with the UK's favourite Major League Baseball star, Carlos Peña. We talk a bit about his time in London, how he found it, how he was approached, where he and his family went to afterwards. They had a bit of a travel. What he found about the crowds there on the day and what his hopes are for the future. It was just a quick chat because he had to go off and be on the telly, but he's promised to come back and have a more in-depth chat with us at some point in the near future. So this is just a taster of what you're going to get from us and Carlos further down the line, but we hope that it sets your appetite for the time being. We'll be back with another proper episode next week, including a bit of Darius from sunny Chicago. And we've also got another really great interview, thanks to our friend Gabriel Fiddler from Extra Innings, in the pipeline very shortly too. Watch this space. Right, take it away, jingle, me again, but only for a little bit. Carlos Peña. My guest today is a man who played almost 1,500 MLB games in a 14-year, 8-club career. His achievements include winning the 2007 Comeback Player of the Year, a Silver Slugger Award, a Gold Glove Award, the 2009 All-Star Recognition and Home Run Leader, and most importantly, the coveted runner-up slot at the inaugural MLB Battlegrounds Home Run Derby in July. It's a very warm good evening to Carlos Peña. How are you?
Very well. Just really pleased to be with you this evening, and thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I've caught you off guard there. It's afternoon where you are, but it's
yeah, it's afternoon here, evening there. I remember I was just there.
Yeah, it's not so long. So you're on the MLB Network later on this afternoon, as it is at your side. So We're gonna have a quick chat and focus specifically on your experiences on London and over here in the UK. And you've promised to come back another time and give us a bit more time. But this is fantastic. Thank you so much. So it's been about 6 weeks, nearly 2 months since you were here, right? So I wanted to start by asking how you and the family got on over here, because you weren't just here for the event on the 4th of July. You were here for a little bit longer, I believe, for a holiday.
Yeah, see, even before I was approached about doing the Battlegrounds, we had planned going over to Europe. And when I heard what it was all about, I really was intrigued by it. I really wanted to be a part of it. And it really proved to be a lot of fun. So I'm glad I agreed to do it. I'm so thrilled that they were even interested in having me. So we had a quick stop in London. And it was the greatest, man. I'm so glad we did it. And then we continued on to our planned trip, you know, that we had previously planned. So it was just a great summer. And part of it, and most of it, was because we were able to do this Battlegrounds and go to London and really take it all in. It was so much fun. It really was so much fun. So something that I'll never forget.
So where did you get to on the tourist trail then? What were the highlights of the UK, other than, of course, hitting home runs off a stage, which we'll come on to in a moment?
Let me tell you something. That was one of the highlights right there. having my kids come over, and my family was there, and they were watching from this pavilion that they were extremely comfortable there, just watching the whole entire show. And you know, having my young boys watch me hit some home runs off a stage, that was crazy. That really was something that has never been done before. So to be part of that, and that's the way we kicked off the trip, was amazing. Afterwards, we went on to Ireland. We went in Scotland first, then we went to Ireland. We were in Edinburgh, Scotland. Then we went over to Dublin and also Shannon in Ireland.
Wow.
It was amazing. I mean, it really
Yeah.
was. And best way to just start it off is just going over there to London and Hyde Park, hitting some home runs in Hyde Park. I mean, you're kidding me with that. Off a stage, you know, during a music festival in the 4th of July, it was just insane.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. And you brought the sun with you as well, because I have to say, it was pretty lucky that we got that weather on that day.
I brought the sun to the point where it was actually difficult to hit because the sun was in our eyes when
Yeah.
we were on the stage, and we were trying to, you know, track down some shades, whatever we needed to be able to see the ball because it was coming straight out of the pitcher's hand. And this is not an excuse though. Let me just disclaimer. My first round, you know, I was first, and the first round I was hitting, I really couldn't see the ball coming out of the pitcher's hand. And it was quite difficult. And I was telling the guys on my team, it's like, hey guys, look, you really need to focus because that first round, if you're a left-handed hitter, it's going to be coming out of the sun. You won't be able to see it. So do everything you can to keep your eyes, you know, just your eyesight slightly low below your hat. Because if you race just a little bit, you will be blinded for at least 10 seconds.
Yeah, definitely like the eclipse, I guess. Don't
Exactly.
look at the sun.
Don't
You'd
look at
had
the sun.
that experience. So when
Yes.
you said that you were quite surprised to get that call, hey, it's the MLB head office in the UK. Firstly, did you know there was such a thing? And secondly, you must have thought it was a joke. Yeah, we want you to come over here and we want you to do this crazy event that we've invented to try and shill baseball to the masses over here in the UK. What was your take on it? Is this for real?
Exactly. At the beginning, I thought it was definitely some part of a prank or something. And I'm like, okay, fine, you got me. Now tell me, you know, let's laugh it off and let's get to real business. But it actually intrigued me immediately, you know, when they finally said, look, it's serious, and we need your help in trying to see if we can create this, you know, any creative input. And to me, that creative process is just it's so appealing to me. I love that stuff. So we started figuring out how in the world this was going to look. How do you make a stage into a batting practice or a home run derby setup? How do we make the fence? You know, how far do we put the fence? How can we keep the fence safe? I know that we're going to be some targets up there. We're going to have some drones flying around. I mean, it was nuts. The idea was nuts. And I was like, oh, this is right up my alley. I love this. We'll make it work somehow, some way. And it worked beautifully. And I think it was like the first, obviously the first time ever done. And it sets the stage for future events like this one. So I loved every single step of the process, even just trying to get the masses excited about this event was also fun. Via streaming video, Facebook Live, Facebook posts, Instagram posts. And we really utilized social media to get everyone excited about it. And the turnout was record breaking.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was fantastic. I mean, even as a person who is in the thick of the baseball community here in the UK, such as it is, I was really surprised by the amount of people that were there. It was fantastic. And you know, you guys are obviously a draw, and you knew that already, but now we know that too.
Yeah, I was extremely pleased when I saw all the large crowds just gathering to be part of this. And another thing that I was impressed with was with their ability to catch a baseball. Because one of my concerns was, oh my goodness, this ball is going to be coming in very hot, very hard and fast. And if there are some fans out there with gloves, I get it, but it could be dangerous. Yet no one got hurt. I saw a lot of guys making plays back there. I saw a lot of girls, women making plays. I was like, whoa, you know, they can play baseball in the UK. I was impressed.
Well, I have to say, I didn't have my glove with me. I had a dictaphone because I was trying to get clips with people, and that was a precarious place to be when you were under the ball and people were sort of running around and knocking me over whilst I was trying to interview them. So, yeah, you were right to be impressed, and so was I. But I also was fearing for my own safety. So you,
no doubt, with so many people, yes.
Oh goodness me, yeah, even worse than being in the bleachers, I think, in some respects. So you got to see up close and personal a couple of guys who play with a different type of bat and ball. I believe you would call them Pelikita players from your conversation
that yes.
with our friend Max Whittle. That being the type of cricket that you used to play at home in the Dominican. It was Alex Hales and Joss Butler, I always call him Josh. What did you make of their efforts? And did you get a chance to have a switcheroo and have a go at cricket yourself?
Man, that's one thing that I got to tell you that I was not able to do, because after the show, everyone just kind of scattered. We had to move quickly to take everything down, because I think there was other events, obviously, that were going to be coming back immediately after us. And I didn't get a chance to grab that cricket bat and give it a go. And I regret that. As a matter of fact, I wanted one of those cricket bats, and I did not take one home. So I'm still bummed out about that.
You have to get Charlie and the guys to send you one over.
Yes, that was one of my goals, and I left with that one. So I was like, oh, man. You know, especially one signed by them, because, you know, Butler and these guys are – legends over there. And we had a very good conversation about all that, how cricket, it's already changing, or they're adapting a better, I wouldn't say a pace of play, yes, but also the way they were swinging the bats. Right now, power is more valuable in cricket than it used to be in the past. So that's been pretty cool. So you used to have those conversations, because now the baseball swing is actually being studied for cricket players are trying to incorporate it into their game.
So we said a little earlier on at the top of the conversation, it was a valiant runners-up finish for you. Were you a bit disappointed not to take on the spoils?
I was, you know, but one thing, because I really wanted to win, you know, like I took this stuff seriously. I trained for it. I was ready for it. And, you know, I just got edged. One thing that I can feel good about is the fact that I felt like I got beat. I didn't beat myself. That was very key for me. And I also think that you know, if there's anybody that deserved to win, it was Shelly, right? I mean, it was him, because he really put on a show. So he was just out of this world. He was just hitting balls into another galaxy. And he was doing it, you know, one after the other, one after the other. And I thought I had him there at the end. But he just went off. He went off for the last 30 seconds, including hitting a target.
Yeah.
He hit that target. I was like, oh, man. But I was really happy for him, you know, because number one, he's just a young kid. I think he's got, you know, definitely big league potential in him. So hopefully he's going to get an opportunity to really show this big league ball clubs that what he's capable of doing.
Yeah. So he wasn't the only person who got a few pearls of wisdom from you. You and Cliff Floyd spent some time with the young GB Colts in the morning. I just wondered if you could tell us what it was that you passed on to those young guys.
You know, immediately we were talking a little bit about not only some big topic items. You know, we were looking at like how hard work and dedication and focus throughout your whole entire life, and certainly in your career, so important to your success. But also, we went straight practical. You know, how do you the grip? How to grip a bat? You know, to maximize your whip when you swing, or how do you keep the bat in the zone for a long time? To your timing and to about getting ready early, to give yourself enough time to recognize the pitch and get your swing in. So we covered all aspects of the game. But I think the most important thing was the part where you have to understand that in order to achieve anything in life, you need to dedicate yourself, you need discipline, focus, and it has to be laser-like. Distractions need to be set aside and eliminated. and also sacrifice, self-sacrifice, to sacrifice certain things if you are chasing a dream. So I think that was the most important thing, because those are life lessons that go beyond baseball or any sport. It's just something that will be beneficial to you in life. So that was the most important part about talking to the youth over there in London.
I know from having a conversation with the coach there, Liam Carroll. He was on it with us a couple of weeks ago. He was really pleased of the time that you and Cliff took to do that. And, you know, he's got big plans for that program. He's a very ambitious guy himself, and I think he's pushing it in the right direction. And any little help he can get from people with your knowledge will be appreciated, I'm sure. Just one last one before we let you go. I just wondered if you want to speculate on what comes next. We, of course, now I think know there's going to be games in 2019. It was confirmed in the CBA that that was going to happen. What do you think has to happen to build on what you saw on July the 4th? And what's the role for yourself and Cliff? I guess you're already signed up for that and that big BBC punditry gig.
Yes. Well, you know what? Let me tell you, for me, it would be an absolute honor just to be a part of something else, to continue to promote the sport over there in the United Kingdom. Number one, it was a lot of fun, and I loved the people, and the response was amazing to me. I thought it was a great interaction, because usually when things are just one way, it would lose momentum, but it wasn't. It was the response was amazing. So it just kept us going. So I definitely would love to be a part of the ongoing pursuit of taking this game of baseball and growing it over there in the UK. And I think in the immediate future, more events like the one we just had are a possibility. And I cannot wait to see the regular season games being played over there, because it is our responsibility now from here until then to really get everyone excited about this beautiful game of baseball. And the UK already has the basis, because cricket is so similar in so many ways. And actually, I can see a crossover. Like I mentioned to you earlier, a lot of training regimens are being used. Baseball training regimens are being used to help cricket players. And also, the cricket bat, as I've mentioned before, is a great tool for practice for baseball players, because mm-hmm. you have to keep your hands in a certain spot to keep the barrel of the bat in the zone for a long time, which is very helpful for us as baseball players. So I see the crossover element being very valuable, and I really would love to be part of this ongoing pursuit to just teach the game of baseball and get everyone excited about it before these regular season games in 2019 come over. Because I want this to be an unbelievable success, and I think we're on the right track.
Excellent. So fingers crossed we'll see you again next year, if not before, and certainly in 2019.
Maybe this time I'll take a cricket bat with me home. This time I'll definitely not leave it. That's the first thing I'm going to put in my bag when I land in London.
Absolutely. Well, let me know and I can take you to a couple of good shops. I can't teach you how to play because I'm pretty terrible, but I can certainly tell you where to get the right kit.
That's awesome, John. I would really appreciate it. And I look forward to see if we can do more of these in the near future, man. So,
well, that would be an absolute pleasure.
Don't be a stranger.
Thank you. And I've got to let you go because you've got to go and do your thing on the MLB Network, and we'll be keeping tuned into that. And hopefully we can tune back into you here again in the future on this podcast. Thanks very much for your time this afternoon/evening.
No, thank you very much for having me. And I look forward to the future. We could do it again.
Brilliant. Thanks, Carlos.
All right. Take care. Have a good evening.